Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. Let me just go through a few announcements first before we proceed. In the front page of your bulletin, we have a few announcements. You can read every detail there. Just one thing, it's kind of a very last minute thing. We have mentions here, September 7th, baptism, September 14th, baby dedication. Those dates may change, but they will still be in September, okay? But please let us know. We have at least two people we know who want to be baptized, so we will make sure it happens in September. Same thing with the baby dedication, okay? And you see the last announcement about the parking lot. It's not 100% the date on that either. It may be the week later. But anyway, we will let you know. The construction people will give us 1 week's notice. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we like to glorify you and exalt you today. Lord, we thank you that we can be here. Thank you, Lord, that you are speaking again to us through your word. Lord, we just give you this time this morning. We want to be the true worshipers who worship you in our whole life. Lord, give us a word this morning from yourself and especially from the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are going through the great cloud of witnesses, mainly in Genesis, and we have been going through all the different characters. And this week, we would like to have it's a very much a continuation of what Ian shared with us last week. So you may feel like there's some overlap, and there is. You know, sometimes in our Christian life, especially, we hear things, and we'll say, wow, that was really good. And the day later, we forget all about it. And what Ian shared with us, I felt was very good, and I felt like, wow, we just need to hit that nail again. So we're going to hit it again, but that doesn't mean we're going to repeat the same text. We're going to still go on. Because Jacob's life, this person we're dealing with, Jacob, he's a very interesting character. You know, in our home meeting last night, I said, you know, if we were God, we wouldn't choose Jacob. He's too, what kind of a guy? What kind of word do you want to use? He's just too much trouble. But God chose Jacob. In fact, we know Jacob was a twin. His twin was Esau. Esau was born first. Jacob was born immediately after, holding his heel. Not too much time apart. Poor mother. But anyway, before they were born, even the mother was told by God, when she inquired of God, what's going on in here? There's problems. There's a fight going on in her womb. And God said, you bet. And the older is going to serve the younger before they're even born. Well, quick recap, fast forward. They're born. Bible tells us Esau, the firstborn of the twins, despised his birthright. Hence, he sold it for one bowl of stew to his brother Jacob. Later on, Rebecca maneuvers the situation to get the blessing that was supposed to go to Esau, according to tradition, and get that blessing on Jacob. Jacob gets the blessing that was supposed to go to the firstborn. He gets it. He gets the birthright. He gets the blessing. He gets it all. Except Esau is so upset that he's determined, I'm going to kill Jacob. As soon as my father dies, I'm going to kill Jacob, my brother. Little did he know he had to wait for a long time before his father died. Anyway, Jacob has to leave. Jacob has to flee for his life. So he's sent away by his father and his mother to go to Rebekah, his mother's brother. And that means going to see his uncle. And they told him, go to your uncle, marry one of his daughters. Okay. We titled the message today, Experiencing God and Our Struggles. And that is because Jacob's life is just a life full of struggles. One struggle after the other. Can you identify? Actually, when you think about it, yes, everybody's life is full of struggles. Maybe they're not exactly the same as Jacob's, I hope. But we all have struggles of some sort or another. But the question is, are we going through our struggles with God? And do we see God is there? So, Jacob has to flee, and it appears he flees with nothing. You know, think about this. He's got the blessing. He's got the birthright, and he's got nothing. And you ask, well, what good was the blessing, and what good's the birthright if I've got nothing? Well, God is God. So Jacob leaves, and Jacob, on his way, has this very significant dream. And in this dream, he sees the ladder, angels of God ascending and descending, and God speaks to Jacob in this dream. And this speaking is very, very significant, because in this speaking of God, God promises him a number of things. And, you know, it's very clear. He says, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm going to be your God too. Right? Here it says, the Lord said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham and Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall spread across to the west, to the east, north, south. And in you and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Doesn't this sound just like a repeat of the blessing to Abraham? It is. It's to Jacob as well. Then verse 15, I like this one. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Doesn't this remind you of the songs we just sang? I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this land. You know, Jacob had a response after this. A good response, I would say. First of all, he said, wow, this place is awesome. God is here. So he said, what? This is none other than the house of God. This is Bethel. Bethel, house of God. God didn't respond. Because God already made the promise. I'm with you wherever you go. You know, I thought about this. I thought, Bethel. Okay, Jacob said, that place is Bethel. That's because God is there, Bethel. But actually, God was with him all the time. Actually, Jacob had Bethel wherever he went. How about you?
Yes.
Yes. God's promise is to be with us. It's not the place, not a physical place. It's the person who is with us through all kinds of situations, all kinds of struggles. Okay, let's come back to Jacob, his struggles. He goes to Laban, his uncle. He falls in love with Laban's daughter, Rachel. And he agrees to work for 7 years for Rachel. After 7 years is up, they have a wedding day, and he gets married. And the next morning, the woman he married, he finds out, wasn't Rachel, but Leah, the other sister. This was not his plan. This was not his wish. He got cheated. He got cheated by his uncle, who was a cheater. But let's face it, Jacob was a cheater too. So the cheater's cheating the cheated. First, it's not the first struggle. We actually have a few struggles already, right? He's got struggling with his brother. Now he's struggling with his uncle. So, okay, then Laban says, okay, that's fine. You wanted Rachel. You'll get Rachel. Just wait a week. I'll give you Rachel next week. And then you work for me for another 7 years. Because it's, you're right, 7 years for one daughter, 7 years for another daughter. Right? So actually, what the first 7 years, in Jacob's mind, he was working for Rachel. In the second year, 7 years, he was also working for Rachel. So he worked 14 years for Rachel and got Leah as a bonus. Cheated. So now he's got two wives. Not planned on that. And if we read the story, we'll know that these two wives, these two sisters, did not get along. Sibling rivalry. And it starts right from the beginning, because Genesis tells us that Jacob loved Leah less. Or you could say he loved Rachel more. This caused problems. Jacob's preference caused problems. Just like any family, if a parent has preference for their children, one child over another, you're going to have problems, guaranteed. So what happens is, you know, in that culture, having children was everything, almost everything. Leah has a child, number one, number two, number three, number four. She's got four sons. And it's really interesting. Yeah, every time she has a son, she's, wow, yes, she's a son. Oh, God gave me a son. Maybe my husband will love me now. She has a second son. Maybe he'll love me now. Third son. Maybe he'll love me now. Then I like the fourth son. Fourth son, he says, oh, forget about my husband. I will praise Jehovah. That's name is Judah. Isn't it interesting? And all this time, Rachel is desperate. Here her sister has four sons and she has none. We realize that this is kind of God's working. God's working on Jacob. And eventually Rachel says, well, if I can't have sons, I'll do a Sarah. You know what doing a Sarah means? Sarah gave Hagar to her husband. Let me do the same thing. Learn from the ancestors. So she gave her servant, Bilhah, to Jacob to be a wife, a surrogate mother, you might say. And Bilhah has two sons for Rachel, because Rachel actually names the sons. Bilhah doesn't name the sons. Okay? And then Leah says she missed 1 year of having a son. She says she was barren, but when you look at the timeline, it wasn't that long. So she does the same thing. She gives her servant to Jacob. So now Jacob's got four wives. If two wasn't enough, now he's got four. Leah has some more sons. Eventually, after about 7 years, Rachel has a son. His name was Joseph. Well, at this point, the Bible tells us, and we like to read these verses in Genesis 30, starting in verse 25. As soon as Rachel had born Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, I've had enough of you. Send me away, that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you. But Laban said, if I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages, and I will give it. Oh, okay. Let's go that far. So, name your wages. What are the wages? Okay, Jacob says, Jacob's the one who makes the proposal for the wages. Okay, what are the wages? The wages are sheep and goats. But they're specific sheep and goats. In other words, the whole point is from this point on, you know, there are different kinds of sheep and goats. They're basically the solid color white ones, which are probably the preferred ones. And then there are spotted, speckled, striped. In other words, there are different colors. One animal with multicolored animals, multicolored goats, right? Multicolored sheep. And there happens to be the black sheep. Guess where we got the black sheep of the family? Okay, so it's not the preferred one. So Jacob said, okay, from this point on, anything that's born spotted, speckled, striped, and black sheep, they're mine. And the rest is yours. And Jacob says, it's a deal. It's a deal. And immediately, Laban says, or does, what does he do? He takes away all the spotted, speckled, striped, and black sheep and sends them 3 days away, far away. Why? In the hope that this makes it really difficult for Jacob to have any offspring that are like that. He's a real guy, quite a guy, isn't he, Laban? Let's make it really difficult. Anyway, after all of this, then Jacob does what he wants, tries to do. He puts sticks up, which actually doesn't do a thing. But anyway, he's got this whole methodology of trying to have this genetic recessive gene become the dominant gene. And guess what? God blesses him. There's lots of speckled, spotted, striped, and black sheep. And they're all Jacob's. Anyway, the record eventually shows us that somehow this didn't take long before Laban realized, I got the raw end of the deal. I'm not getting it. This is not working. So apparently, he changed the contract. Over the course of 6 years, he changed the contract 10 times. But it didn't matter. Whatever contract Laban came up with, it never was in his favor. And why was this? Because God was with Jacob. Not so much what Jacob did, even though he tried this, he tried that, but actually, it was God. God who was with Jacob. Then, in Genesis chapter 31, God meets Jacob again. So we have here, now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has gained all this wealth. Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. It's kind of like this. And sometimes this is like our experience. We go through a struggle for a period of time. And even we try to get out of it. Jacob tried to get out of it. And he was left there. But then at a certain point, according to God's arrangement, not according to ours, God says, okay, that's enough. That's enough struggle here in this situation. Sometimes you have a job like this, right? Difficult job, hard job, and you maybe even put applications out for another job to get out of that job, and nothing materializes. So you're there longer. And then eventually, God says, okay, now's the time to move on. I'm with you. It doesn't mean leaving necessarily is easy. And if you read the record, you'll find out, no, it wasn't easy. He left. He kind of left. He didn't let Laban know he was leaving. So he just left when Laban was away. Smart move. But anyway, Laban finds out 3 days later and he pursues him. And this pursuit and everything that Laban says is very interesting. I'll just read one verse. Chapter 31, verse 43 says, then Laban answered and said to Jacob, the daughters are my daughters. The children are my children. Now, just a minute here. Didn't Laban sell his daughters? I know they're his daughters, but they're soul daughters. my daughters. The children are my children. Not so sure about that. The flocks are my flocks, for sure not. And all that you see is mine. No, the all you see was mine. This is Laban. But what can I say? What can I do this day for these my daughters or for my children whom they have borne? Here's a kind of person who was what? Extremely greedy. But God was stronger than Laban. But you realize this is the kind of person that Jacob was under for 20 years. Isn't that a struggle? A real struggle. And yet, during those whole 20 years, whether Jacob realized it or not, God was with him. Why do we know that? Because God said he was going to be with him. Many times we don't have the feeling that God is with us, but God is with us. Okay, let's look at Leah. You know, there's three people we want to look at today: Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. They all had their struggles. Okay, what's Leah's struggle? Okay, so Genesis 29, 30. Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah and served Laban for another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived, bore a son. She called his name Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me." Wishful thinking. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I'm hated, he has given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will be attracted to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Forget about Jacob. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. Leah. She's the older daughter of Laban. She is married off to Jacob, and it appears that she has no say in this whatsoever. This is not only an arranged marriage, I would call this a forced marriage. Don't you think Leah knew for 7 years that she was not the one that Jacob wanted to marry? It was quite apparent that Jacob loved Rachel and was expecting to marry Rachel. And on the wedding night, Leah suddenly is given a wedding dress and a thick, thick veil. "Here you go. Go on." How do you think she felt? Not only cheated, just felt used. Wouldn't you say that's a good word? She felt used by her father. Then, okay, fine, go through with it. Then she's loved less. She knew that was coming, but still it hurts. Then she has sons, hoping she'll get Jacob's attention more. But it's all vain. But it seems like the competition, even though she's got four sons, now Rachel has two sons by another with us as a surrogate relationship. Leah's not happy. So she does the same thing. "Let me have more sons and use my maid." Still competing. And then eventually having more sons. Would you like to be Leah? I don't think so. But it's interesting. She does say, God is somewhat involved in her life. "I will praise the Lord." Amen. Son number four, "I will praise the Lord. I won't praise Jacob, but I'll praise the Lord," right? What about Rachel? We won't bother reading these verses. It's a bit too long. But basically, I think I mentioned already, Rachel was struggling. She says just this one thing to her husband. She says to Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die." Wow. Jacob's already had at least, what, six sons. No, more than six sons. He's got probably eight sons, at least with three women. And then Rachel tells him, "Give me children or I die." Well, whose problem is it? It's become Jacob's problem. More problems, more struggles. Jacob's response is he gets mad. Jacob's anger was killed. He said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" And so on. So, Rachel, yes, she's loved more. She's the one who's desired more. But she's not able to have children. And this inability to have children in that culture was a big thing, much more than today. But even so, her feeling was that she was being judged by God. That was her feeling, that she was being judged by God. But in spite of all this, she still is competing with her sister. But eventually, in chapter 30, verse 22, says that God remembered Rachel. And God listened to her. So that means what? Rachel prayed a lot. God remembered Rachel. God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." She called his name Joseph, saying, "May the Lord add to me another son." You know, when we look at this whole picture of Leah and Rachel, probably most of us kind of have this feeling of, not that sweet, not that nice, kind of these two contentious sisters giving trouble to Jacob. But you know what's interesting? There is one verse that talks very positively about Leah and Rachel. And it's in the book of Ruth. And this verse says, this was when Ruth was getting married to Boaz. And the people of the city, when they heard this news, there was a kind of a prophecy made. Listen to this concerning Ruth. "Jehovah, make the woman that is come to thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which two built the house of Israel." How about that? So, in the book of Ruth, the descendants look back and say, who are these two women? These two women are the women that built the house, or even you could say the nation of Israel. In spite of all the struggles they went through, they still had some positive word about them. Amen. What about us? What about us? What about our struggles? What about experiencing God in our struggles, in our situations? Like I said at the beginning, we all go through struggles. And someone mentioned in a home meeting last night, it seems like our struggles are tailor-made for each one of us. So sometimes the problem is we have our struggles, we have our situations, we have our difficulties, and we look at other people and we say, they don't have any problems. Well, you just haven't lived in their house. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. Everybody has their struggles one way or another in our family life. On the one hand, we all, not only do we desire, we long for a family life, it's God's way. We're all born in the family somehow, some way, somewhere. But in our family life, we still have struggles. Those who are not yet married sometimes have struggles finding a spouse. And what's hard is sometimes you feel like I found somebody and then you realize after a while, oh, no. Doesn't work. And the relationship is ended. And sometimes some people go through this repeated times. As a parent, we don't like to see our children suffer, especially in these kind of things. But sometimes there's nothing that we can do. Right? except pray. Pray. We struggle with our children sometimes. And it doesn't mean that we, for those of you who are young, married, and don't have children, doesn't mean you shouldn't have children. But let's face it, as parents, we sometimes struggle with our children. They go through circumstances, and we wish, if only I could prevent them from having to go through that hard time. But you realize there's nothing you can do. Maybe some things you can do. We try to shield our children, but eventually, we can't. And then sometimes we have trouble with our extended family, right? Maybe after we're older, our siblings are further away, or in-laws and outlaws and whatever. And then what about job? You know, many of us who are, say, my age, we have a lot of sympathy to the young generation who's graduating because it's tough to get jobs today. It's hard. And then you get the job finally, and you suddenly discover your boss is Laban. In the interview, he didn't seem to be that way. But after a month, woo! And another factor today is job insecurity. You know, oh, fine, like my son, he just landed a permanent job, no more contract. But what's permanent today, anyway? Nothing is that permanent. The only good thing, it's the government, so the government won't go bankrupt. But, even the government has sometimes cutbacks, right? What about other issues? Health issues. You know, if we live long enough, we're going to have a health issue. Right? Most people eventually have some kind of health issues. Financial issues. You know, one of the main causes of conflict in a marriage is finances. How to spend the money. And no two people have the same view about money. Right? For some, money is to be saved. And others, money is to be enjoyed. And those two are quite diametrically opposed to each other. And then they get married. Woo! Interesting, right? Each one of us has all kinds of struggles, whether it's family struggles, whether it's health struggles, whether it's... We could list struggles. We have struggles with our children. Sometimes we have struggles having children. This can be a great heartache. Where is God in this? Where is God in all of our struggles? Actually, I'd like to come back again to this verse in Genesis 28, verse 15. Behold, I'm with you. I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. This is the word when he's in Bethel, before he even sees Laban. But this word, whether or not Jacob remembered this word, I don't know. But he does have the longing eventually to go back, which is put in there by God. Even his brother, who threatened to kill him, is there. He still has the longing to go back. I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. This is a word not only for Jacob. This is a word for us. God is for us. God is not against us. Just remember this, even in all the struggles that you have, God is for you. To be without struggles doesn't mean God is for you. And to have struggles doesn't mean God is not for you. God is for you in all situations. And those situations are, as Ian mentioned last week, many times we pass through hard situations, even sometimes extended periods of hard situations. Why? Because God wants to do something in us to make us a blessing to other people. Understand me rightly, not to bless us, but to make us a blessing to others. Actually, I would say this, to become a blessing to other people is the greatest blessing that you can have. At the end of Jacob's life, just jumping way ahead, Jacob blessed Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. How could he do that? Because of his whole life, what God brought him through. Jacob, at that point in his life, he didn't need anybody's blessing anymore. He didn't need Pharaoh's blessing. He even didn't need Pharaoh's protection. Pharaoh, the king, kind of probably had this thought, oh, this guy's going to bow down to me. Jacob didn't bow down to Pharaoh. He said, I'm going to bless you. How could he bless him? Because God had taken him through all kinds of situations, all kinds of circumstances, to make him the kind of person who could be a blessing to others. Don't despise your struggles. Sometimes we go through things that are really hard and we can't figure out why. Sometime down the road, we encounter another person who's going through the same thing. And we can bless them. Just by what? Just by being with them. Saying, I know. I walk that road. It's hard. I know what you're feeling. I know what it's like. That even in itself can become a real comfort to other people. We don't necessarily have to solve problems because most of the time we can't. But we can become a blessing to others. Amen. By experiencing God in our situation. Just remember this. Sometimes it does feel like God's not there. You go through a hard time, where's God? Where is he? How can I trust? I mean, no, this is not a real difficult situation, but my son, he applied for this job. He's told, well, in 10 days, we'll give you an answer. Those were 10 long days. It's actually 2 weeks. 10 business days, right? That's 14 days. Those were hard. That was, in one sense, he's trying his best to realize God's sovereignty, to realize God's arrangement. Yes, I know. God knows what he's doing. I just wish I knew what he was doing right now. But this is our life, right? God's a God of last minute, right? It's like God wants us to know, I'm in control. Just wait. And it's just wait. And it's just wait. And then, okay, 20 years later, time to go. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your promise that you would be with us. Lord, in all the struggles that we go through our life, may we really realize you are still walking with us, you are with us, you're leading us, and that you will bring us through. Lord, many times our faith is weak, our faith is small, and we struggle. But Lord, remind us again and again, you are there, walking with us. You are with us, and you will never leave us. Lord, remember, remind us this week, day after day, whatever situations we find ourselves in, of this word, your promise to Jacob and to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.